And we're also joined by Rhode Island Public Radio political analyst Scott McKay. Hello, Scott.
Good morning, everyone.
Senator, as we know, voters in Tiverton and statewide will go to the polls this November to vote on Twin Rivers' proposed Tiverton Casino. Do you expect Tiverton voters to approve that?
I do, and it is my hope that they will. I think it's good for the town of Tiverton. The projected $4 million a year will provide needed relief for many, many budget items that are currently unfunded.
Projections show that the state will probably have to make up the difference in paying Tiverton $3 million a year if the new casino goes ahead and doesn't meet certain thresholds. Do you have any concerns about taxpayers being on the hook for that?
No, I don't believe that that's truly going to happen. The minimum projections are close to that $3 million, but Tiverton could actually realize a lot more than $3 million if the projections of $47 to $70 million come to fruition. So I don't think that the taxpayers will ultimately have to pay any of that minimum figure.
Let's go to Scott.
I'm just wondering, I know you were supporting Florida Senator Marco Rubio. What has happened to the Republican Party? It looks to some of us like they're having a nervous breakdown in this presidential campaign.
Oh, I think that's what happens when you open the tent to everybody. You get a whole different variety of opinions and ideals. And that's what's really coming to the forefront now is the Republican Party has become the inclusionary party. And you're going to see that there are many, many more opinions available.
Well, people want to build a wall. I don't know how your front runner wants to build a wall. How is that inclusionary?
Well, it's inclusionary on the people on this side of the wall.
There's been a stalemate for many years in the legislature on restoring the State Ethics Commission's oversight of lawmakers. One of your colleagues across the aisle, Senator Jim Sheehan, is pushing hard to try and strike a compromise. Do you think the Senate will take a floor vote on ethics legislation this year?
I do. I do not think it will be Senator Sheehan's bill, though.
What do you expect the rough composition of the bill to be?
I think there's a variety of bills that are there to eliminate the speech and debate clause of the Constitution. That protection that the legislature holds, I don't think is realistic. So that has to be part of it. And if you really read the Irons case through, they lay out a blueprint on what should be done.
I'm sure as you campaigned, you heard a lot about this, but one of the most nettlesome taxes in this state that I hear about when I get out of the studio, which I do often, hopefully, are car taxes. Is there anything the state can do about these high car tax rates?
Well, you just said two different things. The high tax rates were actually set by the municipalities.
I understand that.
And the motor vehicle taxes, I mean, I was a sitting tax assessor when Finance Chair Pyrus, promulgated everything that was going on and how we're going to phase it out and how the state hasn't met their commitment. It's so much money that realistically, I don't see that it's going to go away. But I also don't think that having an average tax rate makes sense.
We've all been watching the circus at the State Board of Elections where the director, Robert Kando, has run into a lot of issues. And it seems like there's not any political will, at least so far, to replace him. Back in the day, the thinking was that former Senate President Joseph Montalbano was Kando's protector and that the Senate still might be the base of support for Kando. What's your perspective on that?
I cannot speak to the past on that, and nobody's talking about Mr. Kando, but if you're asking my opinion, fire him.
I'm wondering back on the toll issue, is this just a big political issue for the Republicans? I know it helped you in your special election victory, or is there some substance here?
No, I think the toll issue is effectively what's generating the Trump discord that's out there, is that the people were ignored. The people were not made a party to the decision, and government went against their will. And I don't think it's a Republican issue. I think it's a people issue.
We're talking here with State Senator John Pagliarini, a Tiverton Republican, and your special election victory in January was a little bit of good news for a Republican Party that has struggled to elect legislative candidates for many years now. Was yours an isolated case, or are there lessons from your victory that other Republicans can apply to win office?
I am the first of many to come.
Because?
No, I think that when you look at my campaign, there were many, many reasons why I should not have won. And I think that if you are knowledgeable on the issues, if you can get financed either through yourself or through donors, and you can win a race in this state. And right now, the Republican Party is putting together a package to do that.
You said there were many reasons why you shouldn't have won. Did Democrats fall down on their ground game in the special election race that you won?
I won't say that they fell down, but I do believe that there was an expectation that there was an heir apparent to the seat and that we snuck up on them.
One of the things I've always been wondered about is, you know, we see good candidates like yourself win as Republicans, but why do you think it is that the party's had so much difficulty over the years recruiting winning candidates?
I think that's because a lot of Republicans run as a Democrat in this state because they think it's the easier path. If you look at the General Assembly, there are some very conservative Democrats that in any other state would be Republicans.
You were part of the minority in voting against a measure to restrict handheld cell phones in cars in the Senate. Tell us why you oppose that. And for many years, the House has not supported that. Do you think it's going to be different this year?
I have a feeling it will pass. I was one of two votes that opposed it for two reasons. First, I think there's a loophole in it, which is that you can activate a telephone call, which in my opinion means you can scroll through your contacts, which is just as distracting as talking on the phone, because there's no time limit to activate a telephone call under the law. But probably the bigger problem I have is that we have selective enforcement. We've got three cell phone bills, and they each have different penalties.
How about texting? Do you think that should be allowed?
No. And it's not allowed. It's prohibited now. But if I was to get caught texting and driving, I would claim I was on my phone because the penalty is much less severe for on being on the phone versus losing your license if you're texting.
Your Republican colleagues in the U.S. Senate in Washington have been unwilling so far to take a vote on President Obama's nomination of Merrick Garland to the U.S. Supreme Court. Do you think that's the right or wrong stance?
It's the wrong stance.
Because?
He's the president. They have an obligation, you know, whether or not they have a hearing and reject him, that's one thing. But I believe in the power of the office and they should vote up or down on that nominee.
If you could get one of your bills passed, your top priority, which one would it be?
It would be the elimination of tax stabilization agreements in the state of Rhode Island. I don't believe that cities and town councils should have the power to do tax stabilization agreements. And I say that as a property tax attorney who does them often. I think it's a power that and a duty that is not being properly carried out by the cities and towns, and that it would be better served to the state if we let the Commerce Corporation do it as a reduction in income tax rather than local property tax.
All right. We're out of time, so we need to leave it there. Thanks for joining us, Scott.
Thank you.
And State Senator John Pagliarini, Republican of Tiverton.
Thank you for having me.